I ask myself whether what I'm sharing is what God has told me for my own personal life or if it's for everybody else. But I think I'm as crazy as everybody else. So there's a high chance that what God says you need to do 1, 2, 3, 4, the same message might be relevant today. So I just want to appreciate this moment, and let's just pray as we're going to read the sermon now. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this time and opportunity, Lord, to be able to listen to your word, Father God. We pray, Lord, that your word, Lord, may become life to us. We pray, Father God, that your word may increase us today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that we may take this word, Lord, and run with it, and that it may come to pass in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 The subject of our sermon today is called 40 Days and 40 Nights. 40 Days and 40 Nights. I couldn't think about what to title it, so that's what came up when I read that particular scripture, that we should talk about 40 days and 40 nights. You know, there is a whole section of theology where they are obsessed with numbers. They are obsessed with number 3, for example. They'll tell you that Jesus said, you know, I will build this temple in 3 days. I will rise up in 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. You know, there are others who are obsessed with 7 as well. That the seventh, after every 7 days, you need to rest. You know, there's this whole, you know, issue about the number of days in the Bible. I mean, it's there. It's not like they are making it up. It is there in the Bible, that the 3 days in the belly of the whale, 3 days. Jesus did say, I will build the temple in 3 days and I'll rise up in 3 days. So there's a particular context about why this particular numbers were used. And please, as I say these numbers, don't write them down for Lotto. Because people get obsessed with numbers. Others even put them down for Lotto and say, this, you know, I'm going to put these numbers in and I'll win the Lotto. But I just want to highlight to you that there is a reason why God was into particular periods, particular number of days, particular, you know, number of times something is supposed to be done. And as we read scripture, I think that will be clear to us. But what I want to say to you is that the number of days, whether they are symbolic, because some people say they are symbolic. They just show you something that God is able to do. And some people say these are literal, meaning that this is really the number of days. You've got to stick to this number of days. On the seventh day, you must not do anything. Otherwise, God will strike you. But I want to say to you that it doesn't matter whether they are literal or whether they are symbolic. The number of days and the number of times demonstrate that God has put specific seasons in place in our lives. They just show us that there is particular seasons that God chooses. God may say, you know, in 3 days, you will overcome that particular problem. In 7 days, I would like you to do this and that. So it just shows us that God appreciates that there is seasons in life. He appreciates that there's seasons. I mean, let me give you a natural example. We've got summer and winter. Summer and winter, they last a particular period. Autumn and spring, they last a particular period. You won't have a season whereby the whole year was summer. And we start asking Eskom, or not Eskom, they won't be able to solve it. But we start asking maybe somebody else, maybe the president or whoever, or praying and asking God, why is winter not coming? We know that winter is coming. We know that there's a particular season. Is it autumn or spring when we're supposed to plant? Anyway, there's a particular season for planting. But that season is there. Farmers will tell you that if you don't plant during that season, you're going to miss the harvest. By the time the rain comes, it will be too late for you. You won't be able to reap a harvest because you delayed. You're not planting time. And the Bible makes it clear, actually, in the book of Ecclesiastes, that even this season, summer and winter, they are there. God placed them in place as a sign to us that there is times, there is season for every situation we face. I want to give an example. If we, Leviticus 25:8-13, for example, it speaks about the year of Jubilee. And I think if you know the year of Jubilee, you'll know that the year of Jubilee came after every 50 years in Israel. It came after every 50 years. And actually, on the 50th year, every slave that you had to release them. If you were angry with somebody, you had to forgive them. It was a command from God that the Israelites must keep that year of Jubilee. If somebody owed you, then you don't pay them. In fact, they are supposed to come to you and tell you that, look, don't pay me back. How won't we like that to have this in this time and season? Where on the 10th year, maybe, the banks contact us and say, no, it's the 10th year, don't pay anything back. But, you know, it used to happen back then. And in fact, if we read on Leviticus, I just forgot where exactly where this, we'll realize that, in fact, one of the reasons why the Israelites were taken into captivity is because they actually did not obey the year of Jubilee. They actually did not. I'll find the scripture and put it online. If I can see some of you don't believe me. But in the book of Leviticus, it does say that one of the reasons why they were taken to, one of them, why they were taken into captivity is because only a few of them kept the year of Jubilee. All of them wanted to hold on to the slaves. Remember, during that times and season, it was a time where people were keeping slaves. Women were, you know, almost like property. You know, it was the time and season. It was not God. It was just the culture during that time. And the only way of God could deal with that was that on the 50th year, set everybody free. You don't need a slave. On the 50th year, everybody who owes you. I mean, they used to have this terrible practice whereby if you owe me, your child, when your child is born, the child can come into my house. So the child will spend their entire life saving me in their house because you owed me or because you saw at my uncle. And the punishment we determined was that because you had sawn at my uncle, then we're taking one of your kids. That was, you know, the kind of period where, those things were taking place. So I want us, as we speak about this sermon today, I would like us to take a moment and ask ourselves, what season are we in? And I think it's very important that we think about this. It's towards the end of the year now. A lot of people spend this time of the year writing in their diaries what they want to do next year. For a lot of companies, you know, they shut down, they start a new season in the following year. And I think it's very important that we think about what season are we in. Once we determine what season we are in and what season lies ahead of us, we are able to get into action. When we know this season, I mean, the year of Jubilee, the Israelites knew about it. They knew it's coming. So when you know what season is coming ahead of you, you are able to prepare. You are able to prepare for it. For many of us, this is a season, rather, to prepare new things. For others, it's also a season to reflect, to sit down and reflect about what has happened in your life this entire year. What has happened at your workplace? How many fights did you have with your manager or your boss? You know, how many fights did you have with your friend? How many fights did you have with your spouse at home? It's a season to think about such things and reflect on what is it that I can do right. And remember, we're giving you 2 weeks to think about it. Next week, 2 Sundays, there won't be any service. Anyway, the book of Ecclesiastes, as I said, tells us that there is a season for everything, to every purpose under the heaven. It does tell us, like we've said, that for everything under the heaven, there's a season. But then we also know that God is in charge of all seasons. In fact, if we read from Daniel chapter 2, it says he gives wisdom to the wise. It says he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. That is Daniel 2:21. So we are assured that no matter what season we are in, whether it's the season of Jubilee, whether it's the seventh day of resting, whether it's the season of 3 days, some people say the 3 days it shows perfection, that if you go through that 3 days, it will be a season of perfection for you. But it doesn't matter what season it is. We know that God is in charge of all those seasons. He's in charge of all those seasons. Our role is to submit, to take those seasons and submit them to the Lord. Amen. I would like us to read from the book of Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11. I think it will appear there just now. I'm not sure if it's clear enough. Can you see it? Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. I'll read it for you if you can't see it. But it's Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11. And remember, this is telling us about a particular point in time. This is when Jesus has been baptized. He has just been baptized. And like we said, Jesus knew what season he was in and what season laid ahead of him. And that enabled him to take the necessary action that he needed to take. Let's read from verse 1 there. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then verse 5 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Amen. Amen. I would like us to realize that this scripture here, it indicates as a season of 40 days. It was a period of 40 days. And we'll understand as we go through the scripture, as we go through the sermon today, what this means. But what's the most important thing about this scripture is that before God does any major thing in our lives, I mean, this was in the life of Jesus, but this demonstrates to us that before God does any major thing in our lives, perhaps, maybe even in our households, maybe even in the ministry, whatever gifting that God has for you, before God does any major thing, there is a period of preparation. Amen. There is a period of preparation. We don't just wake up. Jesus did not just wake up and he was the Messiah. There was a period of preparation. He spent time being a carpenter. He actually begged John the Baptist to baptize him. John was saying, I cannot baptize you. But Jesus said, so that the law can be fulfilled, you need to baptize me. So there's always a season of preparation before God does any major things. I remember a number of years ago, the late Pastor Miles Monroe taught a sermon on purpose. He actually said that if you drive around most cities, you will see these big billboards written, coming soon. A billboard, you've seen it around Melbourne, Maine, there's quite a number of them, coming soon. But when you look behind the billboard, sometimes you may see bushes, there's nothing. When you look behind, sometimes you will see there's a lot of excavation work taking place, a lot of digging and all that taking place. And that is a season of preparation. In fact, in some of these places, they'll even tell you 60% sold. The building is not even yet there, but people have already bought the units. You know, they're even keeping you that so much of this place has already been sold. So that shows a season of preparation in a way, in the natural sense. That even in the natural sense, you just don't set up a building without preparing for it. And in the same way, God hardly does anything in our lives without a period of demolition and excavation. So what I'm saying to us is that for every one of us sitting here, whatever plans we have for the coming year, whatever plans we have for the church, for the ministry, for our marriages, for our friendships, for whatever we're planning, there is a period of excavation. There's a period of digging and preparing things. You know, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 18. Let me quickly go to it. Jeremiah 18, it's not there on the slides. I'll read it from here. Jeremiah 18, verse 3-6. Where's 18? Yes, from verse 3, it says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. That's 18, Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 3. Then verse 4 says, and the vessel that he made of clay was mud in the hand of the potter. And I mean, this scripture is showing us a very interesting scenario about preparation. Here we've got a potter making a vessel, molding that vessel. The vessel is already there. The potter is looking at it, but it's not into the desired shape that the potter wants it. And then it says, so he made it again into another vessel. So the vessel is already there, but the potter decides to make it again into another vessel as it seems good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look at the clay Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And as I've said, even in this season where we are preparing for a new year and all that, some of us, we reflect. And we can realize that, you know, I did not do 1, 2, 3 for correctly. And in fact, you may even feel the Spirit of the Lord leading you that you did not do this thing correctly. And that is the time when you are in the hands of the potter. And he's molding us. He's molding us into the shape that he desires us to be in. In the same way, God hardly does anything in our lives, like we said, without a period of demolition and excavation, as I said. God always has a season of preparation for each and every one of us sitting here. I mean, even when we read about the parable of the sower, speaks about a seed that fell where there was no enough soil. And the Bible says it withered away. And the same thing happens in our life. Without us being in a season of preparation, without us preparing ourselves, preparing the ground, preparing the soil, our dreams, whatever we're planning for next year, whatever we're planning for the church even next year, can wither away because we do not have enough soil. We have not spent time preparing. So we can see that in the natural, we are most of the times willing to prepare. But in the spiritual sense, do we prepare? Do we prepare? If you have a new position at work, for example, do you spend time preparing for that? And then we see actually, it's in fact, if we look throughout the Bible, even Moses, Elisha, and quite a number of the giants of faith, we can see that there were seasons of preparation in their lives. For example, for a moment, I want us to focus on what 40 days and 40 nights mean, as I've said. Like I've said, there's a lot of theological debates about the numbers and what they mean. But when we look at Scripture, we see examples of what it means. For example, others say it refers to a time of probation, a time of trial or testing. So meaning that for each and every one of us, God has a time of probation, a time of trial, and a time of testing. And we know that if you're in a new job and they tell you that you are on probation, you know, when you get a new job, they put you on probation. Some, they say it's 3 months, a year, or whatever. Probation basically means for this 6 months, we're going to observe what you are doing. We observe what you are doing, and then if we're happy with what you are doing, you have the job full time. That's what some of them say. So it's giving us a sense what 40 days, 40 nights might mean. For example, if we go on to the next slide there, we know that in Scripture, Moses lived 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in the desert before God chose him. In those particulars, it was 40 days in Egypt, 40 days in the desert before God chose him. And we also know that Moses also went to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights on 2 separate occasions. And we'll speak about these occasions later on. We also know that the Israelites, in fact, God told them, you're going to spend 40 years in the wilderness because of your stubbornness. Meaning that, and during that period, we know that is the period that God got rid of the generation that was not willing to listen to him. So again, that's another period of preparation. We also know that the spies were sent to the land of Canaan for 40 days and 40 nights. So for 40 days and 40 nights, the spies spent time in the land of Canaan. We also know that the flood of Noah, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That was preparing for a new season that God was ushering in the world. Also, we know that Jesus, as we read from this particular scripture, that Jesus was tested for 40 days and 40 nights. But from now onwards, I want us to think of 40 days, 40 nights, not as literally the number, as I said, but as a season of preparation. Because we know that from all those scriptures that we have read, and many others that I do not include there, there were seasons of preparation. And they happen to be 40 days, some of them. But also you'll find others in scripture that are 10 days. For example, if you take Daniel and his brethren, they fasted for 10 days to prepare for the role that the king had assigned for them. But let's agree that it does not matter whether it's literal or symbolic, but it shows us a particular season that we need to enter into as a church, as individual, or it may show a particular season that God may call us into. So let's talk about two different scenarios, for example. We've seen here that sometimes there are seasons in your life where you feel like you are at crossroads. You feel like there's two roads you need to take. Do I take left or right? Or there might even be a season whereby you know you're about to start a new job. You know you're about to start a new position. And we can see this in Exodus 5. In Exodus 5, we know that Is it 25 there? Okay, actually, I've got it wrong here. Anyway, but we see in Exodus, here it says, Moses, because Moses knew now the Israelites were now out of Egypt. Moses now needed direction. What do I do? I've listened to you. We are now out of Egypt. But now what is the next step? And the Bible actually tells us in Exodus 25, that one is wrong there. It says, Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights praying. And during that time, God, Exodus 25, 9, it says, make this tabernacle and all its finishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. And there is context into the scripture. Moses went into a time of praying, Mount Sinai. And God showed Moses that for my presence to be with you, you must build the Ark of the Tabernacle. And it is during that time that God showed Moses exactly how to build the Ark. In fact, if you read on after verse 9, Exodus 25, verse 9, you'll even see the dimensions that the Ark shall be, the Ark of the Tabernacle shall be. The exact dimensions were given to Moses. And in fact, God even went further on to tell Moses that this particular gentleman will be the one leading the team that is going to build the Ark of the Tabernacle, because I've gifted him with the skills. I've given him the know-how. So we see here that Moses wanted direction. Moses wanted to know, okay, you said we must go out. You said we must go into a new land. Then what should I do? What next should I do? And I believe sometimes we have those things in our lives where we believe that God has given me this new job. God has done this and that. But do we go back to God and ask him, since I'm in this new season, what do I do then? Do we go back and ask him that? Somebody say amen. Amen. Are you saying amen because you go and ask him that? Do we go and ask him what's the next step? And we know that the Ark of the Tabernacle represents the presence of God. So basically, when Moses went to God and inquired, God gave him the Ark of the Tabernacle. And the Ark of the Tabernacle stayed with the Israelites almost for all generations up until they lost it when they went into captivity. But the Ark of the Tabernacle represented the presence of God. So basically, when we enter a new season and we ask God, oh Lord, what is the next move? We're actually inviting the presence of God. Moses never knew about the Ark of the Tabernacle. Moses never knew that this is a place we need to make sacrifices. But when he went into that period of preparation, 40 days and 40 nights, God gave him the Ark. God gave him his presence. So even us, if we go into the presence of God to prepare, if when we prepare, we invite God, God will give us his presence. Say amen, somebody. Say amen. So God will give us his presence. God will literally give us the Ark of the Tabernacle, his presence to stay with us and to lead us and guide us and sustain us. And we also see a second scenario. And a second scenario is when we are facing a trial or a difficult season. You know, sometimes God will call you into that period of separation, of preparation, but sometimes you may face situations that you do not understand. And when you face that, that's when you need to know, what should I do? And we also read from Exodus 24, yeah, this one is correct. We also read from Exodus 24, that, 34, sorry, that when you enter that time, when you are in that particular season, because remember in this particular scripture, Moses found the Israelites, they were sacrificing, they were doing their own idols, they were not listening to God. But again, Moses went into another period of 40 days and 40 nights. And we know that it is now during the second period that actually God gave him the Ten Commandments. Because now he was in a season where, Lord, this is not working. What is going on? I'm frustrated. I'm exhausted. How many of us are feeling exhausted today? How many of us are feeling tired today? I think you're all tired. You know, and during that period where you feel exhaustion, during that period where you feel some kind of lawlessness, some kind of difficult situations happening in our life, it's another season where now you need to take a decision that I need to enter into a period of 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. I need to enter into a period of preparation. Amen. So I want us now I remember a couple of years ago, a church I used to attend, there was an elder of the church called Charlie. I'll say his name because you won't know him. Even if you Google, you will find Charlie Chaplin or another movie actor. You won't see the real Charlie. But I remember Charlie was an elder in the church. He used to preach quite a number of sermons. He used to work for the Metro Rail. He was over 50, over 55 there. But anyway, he worked for the Metro Rail. And his role, they called them something like traffic signal controller, something like that. What they did, they sit behind the desk and they manually control the trains in terms of when a train should take a turn, you know, when another train is coming, one should wait. You know, they will control those bridges on the rail line and also communicate with the train driver about all that. Now, we all know that with this kind of jobs, even nursing and all that, sometimes you'll ask your mate to fill in for you, that, you know what, I won't make it today. I've got a family event. Fill in for me. The same thing happened with Charlie. A colleague asked him. Charlie had been working about, I think he said, 7 nights in a row. But a colleague asked him that, I would like you to fill in for me. I won't make it. So Charlie agreed and filled in for this colleague. But what happened is that he was exhausted. He was exhausted, obviously. He's been working every night. I don't know exactly what happened, but when he told the story is that trains collided and people died. And Charlie was working. Well, they did an investigation and all that. I don't know what happened to the rest of the investigation. But one thing I learned from him that time, I remember I phoned him. I was supposed to go somewhere with him. I gave him a call. Charlie's phone is off. What's going on? Phoned him again. Charlie's phone is off. People are trying to call him. It's off. Anyway. And then Charlie decided that, you know what? I don't know why this situation happened. People died. And it's actually my responsibility. I was actually not supposed to be there. I was supposed to be resting at home, but I agreed when the colleague asked me, can you fill in for me? But what he did, for him, he actually literally took 40 days and 40, like really 40 days. He took 40 days and 40 nights off. He did not come to church for that period. His phone was off. Nobody could reach him. Obviously, they knew he was somewhere. He was not doing anything funny, but he was somewhere focusing and actually praying, inquiring from the Lord for exactly what went wrong. Why did this situation happen? People died, and it's my responsibility. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we don't need God to tell us to a season of prayer, a season of preparation. We need to actually get ourselves into that season. When you see that something has not worked out, and you've been trying this thing a number of times, perhaps you need the 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. And I would like us to go back again to our scripture from Matthew 4. From Matthew chapter 4. And again, this is what is most important, that Jesus himself realized that he was facing a major season in front of him. And he knew that it was time for him to prepare. And I want us to read that again. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Amen. Ask somebody next to you, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? You have to know what you are preparing for. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. I mean, by just looking at this particular three verses, it shows us that the real test actually came after the fasting and the prayer. So when Jesus was fasting and praying, he was actually preparing himself for a test that was ahead of him. It doesn't say that on the first day the devil came. It says after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was now hungry. So imagine he fasted for 10 days, 20 days, 30 days, he was not hungry. The devil did not come to tempt him. But after 40 days and 40 nights, that's when the enemy came. And that's what I'm saying. It shows us that time of preparation, that time when we set ourselves aside during the holidays, if you plan to do it, it prepares you for what lies ahead of you in 2020. It prepares you for what lies ahead of you at your workplace. So it's only after that time that a real test will come. And then it says, I'm going to verse 4 now. Verse 4. It says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Amen. Then let's read on to 5. It says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" And we see, as we read, that the enemy comes to him again and again and again. So that is what the time of preparation prepares us for, that challenges will come again and again and again. You may decide this year that next year there's a particular thing you want to do, and you might find yourself not sticking to that particular thing, not doing that particular thing that you wanted to do. But as we see here, again and again, we have to resist the enemy, just like Jesus did. Let's read on to 8. It says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him." Amen. Amen. So what we're learning here is that in the process of life, sometimes the Spirit of the Lord will come take us away, just like with Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will take us away into a time of preparation. When we are facing a major task ahead of us, when we are facing a major decision ahead of us, God will take us away for a period of preparation. And we should note that this scripture says, as we said, Jesus fasted and he was tested. Jesus prayed and he was tested. It does not say he prayed, he fasted, and the enemy left. It does not say he prayed and he fasted, everything became fine. It says he fasted, he prayed, and then the enemy came and tested him. So your 40 days, it's not really the real test. That period of preparation when you go aside and pray, it's not the real test. The real test is still coming. So that period of preparation, it prepares you to stand after having done all to stand. It's almost like, you know, there's this scripture that talks about putting the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, you know, the sword of the Spirit. It's almost like during the period of preparation, 40 days and 40 nights, you are putting on the whole armor of God. You are training yourself to understand the word of God. You are training yourself to understand how God operates. And that season, like I said, it will come for every one of us. And then I want us to go to this next slide there, that just to go through what we learned from the 40 days and from that particular scripture. Like we said, we have been talking about, I think for the last four Sundays, we've been talking about prayer, different types of prayers. Last week we spoke about apostolic prayers. We spoke about governmental prayers the other week. Particular prayers that you make, knowing what is lying ahead of you. And as we see, even in Matthew 4, that the 40 days and 40 nights, for Jesus it was a time of prayer. So when you spend 40 days and 40 nights, you don't spend it in quietness doing nothing. When you spend that time of preparation, first and foremost, you spend it praying. That's what needs to be done. And we know that when we pray, it's when we communicate with God. And when we pray, we don't just pray. We also have a moment of quietness where we listen to what the Lord is saying to us. So we learn from Matthew chapter 4, that time of preparation is a time of prayer. Again, we know that it often includes fasting or denying of some sort. In this particular scripture, Matthew 4, Jesus fasted. He prayed, but he was also fasting. It may be also denying yourself some kind of thing that you usually have during that period. For example, some people will decide, you know, I'll be having a party. There's nothing wrong with having a party. I'll be having a party with my colleagues or with my friends. But someone will say, no, it's a period of preparation. I'm going to deny myself of the party. I'm going to focus on what the Lord is saying to me. I'm going to spend time in prayer. So a time of preparation, we know that it involves prayer. And also it involves us denying ourselves of something that whether it's food or it may be food and something else as well. You deny yourself that period. I've seen some people who are fasting and then you visit them. It's time for prayer and fasting, but then you're watching TV the whole day. And then you ask yourself, then when do you have time to reflect? What are you preparing yourself for? Because your attention is being taken over by, there'll be load shedding, stage 6, while you're supposed to be praying and focusing on the word of God. Again, we learn that it is time spent in the word. It is time spent in the Word. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us to study the Word so that we show ourselves approved, so that we know how to use the Word of God, so that we know how to use it in the situations we face. So it's time spent in the Word. And we notice as we read that every time, after the 40 days and 40 nights, every time the enemy came, Jesus responded with the Word. He responded with the Word because Jesus has been studying the Word. He understood the Word. So every time, if we spend that time in the Word, we also know how to respond in the Word. And it's very funny because we can see in Matthew 4 that actually the enemy will even use Scripture. The enemy will use Scripture to come to Jesus. But Jesus knew that this is counterfeit. This is not the real thing. And when we spend that time in prayer and in the Word, we'll know when it's counterfeit. We'll actually know when there's a colleague at work who has actually maneuvered things against you. You will know, this person is talking to me like this, but it's actually not this person. There's something behind it. I will not attack them. I will not respond to them, but I will go into my secret place. Yeah. Amen. We also know that it's a season. This is not preparation. We learn to rely completely on God. And if we go back to Matthew 4, we see that the enemy will come to him. He came to Jesus and said to him, "You can turn these rocks into food." But Jesus said, "No, man shall live by every word that comes from the mouth of God." So it's a season that when you are spending that time of preparation, time in prayer, like we will be doing, we'll be doing it in 40 days and 40 nights. Are we doing? No, I'm just joking. But we know that during that time, whether it's a week that you're going to spend away, whether it's 2 days that you're going to spend away, we know that during that time is a time that you will learn how to rely on God. You will learn when to say no. When the enemy comes with some other counterfeit, you will know how to say no. You know, it's like, you know, sometimes it may even be a friend who comes to you with another thing, or let's do 1, 2, 3, 4. Maybe it's I don't know, maybe it's a business or whatever. But you will know immediately that this is not where the road that God wants me to take. Because, or a neighbor will come to you to gossip about the other neighbor. And you will immediately say, no, this is not where I want to go. Because you know, you have been spending time in prayer. And also we know that you are able to stand your ground when temptation arises because you have taken on the full armor of God. Like we have read here that Jesus was able, he got tempted again and again. It was not once, in fact, it was 5 times, I think, when the enemy came presenting things to him. You know, "I will give this entire city to you. I will do this, I'll give you this, I'll give you that." And we know that time and again, he was able to say, "It is written. This is what the word of God says," because he had spent that 40 days and 40 nights during a time of preparation. And he knew exactly that the enemy will come tempt him, and he knew exactly what the Lord was preparing him for. Amen. How many of you have plans for next year? How many of you have plans for next year? Have you spent time to think about those plans? Have you spent time reflecting and praying about those plans? Somebody said yes. What did the Lord say to you? Let me take the microphone. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. We all sitting here, we've got plans for next year. Some of us here have got gifts that we have not been using. You know, I was talking to somebody last week. I won't mention their name. But I remember, because this one you might know, so I won't mention names. But I remember asking them, "How did you get to do that thing?" Because it's like, for me, it's like, all of a sudden, I realized, oh, no, man, this person can do this thing very well. And I asked them, how did you get to do this particular thing and do it so well? No, the time we were doing it, I was also praying. And as I continued praying and doing it, all of a sudden, you know, it almost like it becomes natural. You know how to do it because you have been praying, you have been preparing. You know, when you start that new job next year, if you're starting a new job, when you start that new project next year, started having prepared. Started having spent time in prayer. You know, pray for your colleagues. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for people that you are in project with. Pray for your bosses at work. And see what God will unfold in front of you. And see that every time, even when there's a disagreement that comes, you will see now that you'll be able to overcome that particular challenge that comes. And I want us to go back again to Matthew 4. Because we know that after prayer on the mountain, after 40 days, rather in the wilderness, after that period of 40 days and 40 nights, that's when Jesus actually went and started choosing his disciples. Have we noticed that? He did not choose his disciples before that. He actually, after spending that time of prayer, 40 days and 40 nights, time of preparation, time of probation, he actually went out, started choosing his disciples. He went to others, I will make you fishers of men. And what's even amazing is that he even actually went to choose Judah, the one who betrayed him. And we know that Judah was meant to be there for a reason, you know. So it is after that period of preparation that Jesus was able to go even elect people, choose people that he will be working with in the ministry. And we know one of the most famous sermons he preached, they call it the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mountain. Blessed are those who thirst after God. We know that blessed are those who are broken in spirit. We know that is the first sermon he actually preached after this period of 40 days and 40 nights. So what I'm saying to us here, that if we want to finish well in whatever we have planned, if we want to finish well in the projects that we have planned, if we want to finish well in the ministry, if we want to finish well even in our families and individual lives, let us decide today that we're going to spend a period of preparation, that we're going to spend a period of probation, that we're going to spend a period, whether it's a day or 2 days, 3 days, it does not matter. But there has to be a period that will usher us into a new season, that will usher this church into a new season as we start the new season next year. So I want to encourage all of you, there will be a list at the back there when you go out today. There will be a list where you write the number of days that you're going to spend preparing yourself. I'm joking, there's no list. But I want to encourage you, brethren, that let us go and spend time in the presence of the Lord. Let us go. Let's think about the different types of prayers that we spoke about in the past few Sundays. Let's go and implement. Let's go pray those prayers for our families, for our children, for our individual lives, you know, for our ministry, as the church, rather. Let's go pray those prayers. Amen. Amen. Do you feel you are ready this morning to prepare yourself for a new season? Are you ready? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
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 All right. We have come to the end of the service today. But as we draw to the real end, I want us to just to close our eyes. Just to close our eyes and to reflect on the sermon that we've spoken about today. I want us to reflect on what has happened during this year. Just reflect about what has happened this year. Just reflect on it and invite God. The things that have happened that you did not understand, do not be afraid of saying to God, Lord, I did not understand this particular moment. Lord, I did not understand this particular scenario. Just open up to Him as you reflect on this. And even as you reflect on it, just go to God again and say, Lord, I want to spend a season in prayer, a season to understand these events that happened in my life, a season, I want to spend a period to understand what is it that you are saying to me. I want to spend a season to understand what is it that you have put ahead of me, whether it's in your workplace, whether it's in the church. Just think about it this morning, what has happened and what God is ushering you into. And I again want you to reflect on the sermon. That just like Jesus' prayer in the wilderness, without God's presence, without inquiring of the Lord, just like Moses had to inquire of the Lord. And when Moses inquired of the Lord, we read that the Lord gave him the Ark of the Tabernacle. The Lord gave him his presence. I want us this morning to acknowledge that without going to the Lord and inquiring of him, we won't have his presence. In whatever project we are planning for next year, in whatever financial investment we want to make next year, in whatever business we're planning to start next year, if we do not have the presence of the Lord, it won't go as we want it to go. It might go well, but it might even be harder because we had not invited the presence of the Lord into it. Moses invited the presence of the Lord. And we know after he invited the presence of the Lord, after they had the Ark of the Tabernacle, we know that they fought battle after battle and they won it. We know that they even received food from heaven, manna from heaven, when there was no food. We know that when they were in the desert and there was no water, the Bible says Moses struck a rock and water came out of the rock flowing. And that is what happens when you've spent time preparing in the presence of the Lord. That is what happens when you've spent time saying, Lord, I want you to lead me into this new season. I do not want to walk alone into this new season. And I'm asking us today, this morning, that we allow God to lead us into this new season, that we spend time in the presence of the Lord and allow Him to lead us into this season. And you might be with us today here. You hear us talking about Moses, Elisha. You hear us talking about Jesus. You hear us talking about the season of preparation. But maybe you hear this day and you say, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm not even a Christian. I would like to have access to this God who can prepare me for what is about to come. I would want to have access into what the Spirit of the Lord is able to do in my life. But I don't even know this God. So if you happen to be in a presence in our midst today and you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to ask you to lift up your hand. If you are in our presence today, if you are here today and you have not had that moment of saying, God, I yield my life to you. God, I surrender my life to you. Lord, I want you to be the one leading me. If you are in this place today, I want you to lift your hand. You know, I made that decision in 1996. I was actually in my room. I was listening to Jimmy Swaggart preaching on a radio tape. And at that moment, I made that decision. I made that decision that, Lord, I want to follow you. He made a prayer on the tape, and I followed what he was saying on the tape. And that's the moment when I started having a new perspective in my life. So if you happen to be in this place and you want a new perspective in your life, I want to encourage you that even in your quiet time, when you go back home, ask God, oh, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise. Lord, I want to thank you for everybody in this place. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the word that we have had today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your words, they are spirit and they are life. We thank you, Lord, that the word that was spoken will bring us life today, Father God. It will bring us life, Father God, throughout this season, Father God. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to lead us into a season.